Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full service safety partner.
Congratulations at 5 o'clock. You are done with your work day, and we got you. Clint Sterner and the show will give you all you need to know. And the latest, the big news coming out, Clint. The SEC presidents and chancellors on Thursday approved a 10-game conference-only football schedule for the fall that begins, and they're pushing it back September 26th. Sources have confirmed with ESPN the SEC title game is set for December 19th. So only conference games for SEC teams, which means really you go see all good games. Now there's some you miss. You miss Oklahoma, Tennessee. You miss USC, Alabama. And then, of course, you miss like Florida, Florida State, and Clemson, and South Carolina, and Georgia, Georgia Tech. But they're adding on real schools instead of having to play like the Citadel, like Alabama does every year.
Yeah, look, I think you got a lot of people that have had problems with what, in particular, Alabama does. I mean, everybody across the SEC does it, but Alabama's the one that constantly gets beat up about playing so many lesser opponents. In fact, there's one week late in the season where the SEC across the board, the majority of their games are against subpar opponents, and all the critics hammer the SEC about it. Well, I mean, you're getting what you want. I mean, you're getting, instead of the typical six, every team in the West plays six Western Division games in the SEC. They would typically play one Eastern opponent every year and then one Eastern opponent that rotates. Now they're going to play, it looks like they're going to play the six opponents in the West, and they're going to play four more opponents from the East. And so you're going to get an all-SEC season with a championship December the 19th, and I love it. I mean, I love it. I'm not mad about
it. How about it, baby? Arkansas gets to add Georgia.
Yeah, there you go. Arkansas, my hogs, baby. Look, I'm all in, man. I mean, I'm one of them guys. Like, when I was playing, Tennessee was obviously won the title in what year was that? That was 98.
98, baby. Martin and company.
Check it out.
Price on your ass.
97, 96, Florida won it. Yep. 97, we played Florida in Gainesville. 98, Tennessee won it. We played Tennessee every year. Obviously, LSU, Auburn, Alabama. I mean, it's a monster schedule. The one team that I never played was Georgia. Now that Georgia's a top five team every year, let's go ahead and add them to the Arkansas schedule. So what a monster.
Couldn't get Vandy, huh?
Couldn't get Vandy. Hell no, don't get Vandy.
Kentucky.
Just step on my hogs when they're down. The one thing about A&M, we're in SEC country here in Aggie land. Who'd I say?
They get Florida,
Missouri, and Florida. So you got lucky with Missouri. That should be a team that you should be able to handle. But Florida,
Last time they were at Kyle Field was Manziel's first game.
I remember that. Manziel lost. I remember that. I remember that one. Yeah, that's a tough one. Dan Mullen will get them boys rocking and rolling in Florida. I promise you that.
The other side note is the SEC is the fourth of the Power Five conferences to make this decision. And, of course, late to the party, the Big 12, led by Bob Bosley. They make terrible decisions all the time. And they're always the conference that looks to be torn apart because Texas runs it.
In all fairness, Greg Sankey over with the SEC.
He ain't Bob Bosley.
No. I mean, he's good.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
No, I like. No, he's money.
Yeah. All the Big Ten and the SEC just keep taking teams from the Big 12, and so they'll. I'm sure they're announced soon. But yeah, the SEC going to 10 games. Now you know it's real in college football.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, for the coronavirus portion of the 5 o'clock fire, here is the latest out of the NFL. Clint, the Buffalo Bills sent their rookies, all of their rookies, home from the team's facility Thursday as a response to 5 positive corona tests this week, and they told the ESPN in a statement. So they're sending all their rookies home and doing all their meetings virtually.
Yeah.
And so that's crazy. What will be interesting to me, Clint, is I can't wait to see other teams around the league, their numbers and the issues they have in terms of positive tests with the coronavirus, and comparative to the Texans, when you see all of the efforts that the Texans are making to try to make their area as safe and as avoid positive tests as possible. That will be a real interesting thing.
Oh, there's no question about it, to see what the numbers look like, you know, the first 3 days that they have everybody in there, which will be, man, we're on it, ain't we?
We're in it, yeah, we're in it.
No, they hadn't reported it. They've all tested, but they haven't all tested. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about like 2 or 3 days into when they start this quote-unquote conditioning and acclimation period, which will consist of walkthroughs and routes on air and things of that nature. I mean, there'll be work getting done on the football field. But look, man, I will say this show until I'm blue in the face, man. I just think that these teams, whether it be college football or the NFL, I just believe they're going to be able to control the virus and control the number of positive tests. I mean, just so much more consistently and effectively once they get these guys here. I just read a report where Arkansas, my alma mater, they're 3 days into the accelerated offseason period where they can have walkthroughs, they can spend the NCAA football, they're allowing them to spend more time because spring ball didn't happen and things of that nature. So they're allowing them to spend more time with them. And they're 3 days into team workouts, you know, walkthroughs and things of that nature. And 200 tests that included the entire football team and staff and a bunch of support, 0 positive tests. That's on a college campus. Now, if and I understand there's outliers, there's problems out there and things that you can't control, but if Arkansas can get 200-plus people together on a college campus, you know, 100-plus, which are college kids, they got one thing on their mind outside of football, and it ain't grades. If they can get them, if they can get them to keep between the lines and have 0 tests, then damn it, the NFL can do it.
No, they will. It will be. I cannot wait to see this, because as we spoke yesterday, the Texans have put millions of dollars. I'm talking, you can't enter the building unless you have like facial recognition. You got the new flooring, which is easier to clean. They have put millions and taken it all the way to another level than anyone else. Real interesting to see what their numbers look like compared to everybody else.
5 o'clock fire.
I want to jump to this as the NBA starts tonight. And yes, the NBA is back. The Jazz and the Pelicans go at 5:30. Here coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. And then the Clippers and Lakers tonight at 8 o'clock. We get the NBA back. But the Rocket season starts tomorrow. And the latest on, as I've said, the straw that stirs the drink. Eric Gordon, Mike D'Antoni says that Eric Gordon is still injured with his ankle. He is one day closer to coming back. There won't be any change for a while. He's in great spirits and feels good. He continues to get treatment every day. The training staff is all over it right now.
I'm anxious to see how quickly he makes a return. And when I say makes a return, I mean out there doing his thing. You know, I mean, think about, we've all, I mean, if there's one thing that we in pro sports that we can all relate to, it's the twisted ankle. Ugh. Right? It's the sprained ankle, whether it was basketball on the basketball on the high school floor, it was at the sports complex around the corner, regardless of what you were doing. We've all rolled an ankle before. You understand how, yeah, you maybe come back and be able to walk, but the minute you try to change directions, that thing's weak, it rolls over again. I'm interested to see how quickly they get Eric Gordon back, because it's going to show us how drastically things have changed from back in the day of how you handled an ankle. If this dude's back and this thing's strong as all get out in a week, that's amazing.
I'm concerned with him because he's got – Eric Gordon, to me, has this Will Fuller feel.
Stop it.
I'm just saying he's a guy that gets injured. And especially the lower half is where he gets injured. So
let me get a shot at
the kid. I was about to say to you – let's take one here. I was about to say to you, like, I wouldn't be opposed if I'm a Rockets fan. I mean, let's just hold this dude these 8 games. Like, let's just get him. And I know you want to get him some run because, remember, you know, he was injured when the season ended, when the season was stopped. He was injured, not getting time. You want to get him some run in. But it's more important that ankle is as healthy as possible for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that has to be a consideration.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I will agree with you I think P.J. Tucker's a straw that stirs a drink, but I'll agree with you from a standpoint. You want to talk about a player that takes this team to a whole different level when he's hitting on all cylinders? It's Eric Gordon. There's no doubt about it. When you've got – because the other guys are good players. Look, Danuel House and Ben McLemore are great players. They're great players. I enjoy watching them. But they ain't just knocked down beyond the arc.
They're not being game-planned about it at all.
No, they're not Eric Gordon. And so they'll fill in. They'll help the Rockets win some games. They're good pieces. But when Eric Gordon's hitting on all cylinders, which he may or may not, hell, I don't know. But when he's hitting on all cylinders, this team goes to a whole different level and can score a bunch of points in a hurry.
Yes.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. Also, news that needs to be passed around. The Major League Baseball, they can continue to have teams affected with the coronavirus. The Philadelphia Phillies has canceled activities at Citizen Bank Park after a member of the coaching staff and a member of the home clubhouse staff tested positive for COVID-19. The team has announced that today. The Blue Jays, who are playing in Buffalo as their home park, they've been told their weekend games in Philly has been postponed. No official word when that is going to come back.
This is one to keep the eyes on simply because this is the fallout. This is the Major League Baseball's ability to contain this Marlins spike.
They're up to 19 people, by the way.
They're up to 19, and obviously that's where one would think that the Philly – the two positive tests in the Philly organization came from. But look, I'm still when I look at this show, I still look at it and go, man, if only one player and a coach?
It was a coach and a support staff.
Okay, so no players. So we're still in a point where if no players test positive after being on the field with the Marlins, knowing that the Marlins had coronavirus positive tests running throughout the organization, that's a win for Major League Baseball. It's not a win for the Marlins, but it's a win in terms of how quickly this thing can spread, and especially on the diamond. Now, I know it's not football. I know it's not basketball. But if you can go and have the Marlins play the Phillies, and the Marlins in the next few days have 19 tests, and they had tests before that, before the game that had tested positive. So it was in the organization before and after. To think that the Phillies could avoid having any players test positive, that's a win for the league, man.
Yeah, it's just now this is the sixth team now affected by one team testing positive with players, their games being moved or canceled
Buzzkill.
Or postponed. So
Buzzkill.
That's it. I'm just reporting Buzzkill. The news now. All right. there is one player that proves this NFL top 100 list that we all get lost into every year. There's one player that proves it isn't credible. It's a player that Houston feels some sort of emotion about. We'll get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
I get myself really engrossed in the NFL top 100 every year, and I know it, Clint. It's silly. It's voted by the players, and when you think it through, there's no way in hell the players can keep up with all the other the other players and teams in the league. I'd imagine, Clint, when you played, hell, you were so focused on what the hell you had to do when you were with the Cowboys, I'm sure as hell, bet you didn't know what the hell the Seahawks were doing.
No, I mean, not enough. Like I wouldn't have known. We didn't play the Patriots. I wouldn't have known Stephon Gilmore. I wouldn't have known how good he was to put him at number 9 in the top 10 in the league right now. So I wouldn't have. I probably wouldn't have had a vote. But yeah, I got you.
But it gets me. It gets me. This is by the players, and to me, there's a couple of misses, but there's one player that really shows that this thing is not really credible and that they are not really serious about things. And this is, man, this is my guy, this is my dude, or this is what I remember of him. Like, when you take a look at the fact that Lamar Jackson is number one on the list, it is clear to me you're saying, all right, this was based off last year.
Yes.
This was based off last year. Lamar's number one. They've got Clowney 4 spots over J.J. Watt. Like, these are clear indications that this is based off of what happened last year and not just right now we think that guy's the best player. Because if that were the case, it would be number 15 in Kansas City, number one far and away, right?
No question.
Far and away. So if it is a snapshot of last year, I know you all, many of you love DeAndre Hopkins, and you should. He is one of the best players to ever play in this organization, in this city, a great player. But him being number 8 on the top 100 list in the top 10 as the second receiver to go off the board ahead of Julio Jones is absolutely incorrect. It's just wrong. He had 1,100 yards last year, 11 yards a catch, 7 touchdowns. Come on, guys. Like, it was one of his worst years. Like, I mean, and Hop would say it. So him being 8, top 10, it just shows, man, these are my dudes. These are my buddies. I'm voting. This is stuff I remember because there's no way last year he was a top 10 player in the NFL.
I don't believe that either of the receivers deserve to be in the top 10.
See, I give it. You don't think Michael Thomas?
No.
Yeah, I think so. I
like Michael Thomas. I mean, I love DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, the coverage dictator aspect of DeAndre Hopkins is crazy, man. I mean, it's something offensive coordinators typically dream of. But when you look at the top 10 in this league, you just laid out a good reason based off of last year, not six great years.
Because that's what you have made it clear with Lamar at the top of the list.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a receiver in the top 10, top 10 players in the NFL right now. I'll say this. I think Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins are the all-pro receivers in the game. I mean, they're you could very easily say that those are the top two receivers in the game. Now, there's obviously other guys you can throw in the mix. Tyreek Hill's a new one. Julio Jones is one of them. Who am I leaving out, Show?
Some people really like Devontae Adams. I don't think he's that high up there. Those are really the guys.
I mean, there's a handful that you can debate.
Mike Evans.
If I've got to pick the top two receivers in the league, Hop's in that conversation. And he's received that recognition multiple times. I don't think anybody would argue it. But when you're talking about the top 10 based on last season's performance, there's several things that are wrong with this list. As you mentioned, Pat Mahomes should be number one and a huge gap between 1 and 2. Christian McCaffrey should be above number 6. I'd have a hard time putting George Kittle at number 7. Had a good year last year. Had a great year last year. But I would have a very hard time putting putting George Kittle at number 7, and I would damn sure have a hard time putting DeAndre Hopkins at number 8. Especially when you look down the list, as you mentioned, you got Julio Jones at 11, Drew Brees at 12, Tom Brady at 14, Aaron Rodgers at 16. I mean, there's a lot of players below him that I'd put in the top 10 over him.
Yeah, I just we said this, like, the NFL top 100 is a really flawed system with the players voting for it, and I just think DeAndre Hopkins is him being number 8 with his season last year. It's the poster child of why it's just not a credible list. And it's not anything to crush him about it, But I mean, 11. You go look at what he's done, man. I think Julio. Come on, Julio caught 90 balls, 14 less balls than him. Had almost 1,400 yards. He had 6 touchdowns because Matt Ryan, for some reason, doesn't like throwing touchdown passes to Julio Jones. and 14, almost 15 yards a catch with Julio Jones. And come on, man, that's just like, hey, DeAndre's my guy. No, like he's
look.
There's no way last year you can say that.
There is no doubt about it that DeAndre Hopkins is. I mean that is a. It's polarizing right now, right? I mean, you talk about you can't even have a conversation about, well, we proved it. You have a conversation about whether DeAndre Hopkins belongs in the top 10 NFL players based off of last year, and you say no, and the damn text line lights up and talks just bad to you.
I don't even want to check.
I mean, it's polarizing right now. I think DeAndre Hopkins is a guy that is obviously a great player, one of the top 2 or 3 receivers in this league. And right now, he is on the forefront of everyone's mind because of what Bill O'Brien just did in allowing him to get out of Houston and go to Arizona. That will be, there is no doubt about it, that will be the lead story going into 2020.
Mm. Yeah.
The lead Maybe story. Tom Brady.
Maybe. I think Tom's probably the quarterback.
Arizona's irrelevance may, you know, that may play a part in it. But
you'll hate this, but Cam – to New England.
Oh no, I don't hate it. Look, yeah, look, okay. Let me outside of the court, the superstar quarterback.
Because
set
people
move.
Were so blown away by the move.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I mean, I just think that's one of those deals where I think people nationally are very interested in how DeAndre Hopkins does in Arizona in Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray's air raid offense. I think it's an interesting. Interesting watch. I know I'll be dialed in.
It'll be interesting. We'll check it out. We're discussing DeAndre Hopkins being number 8 in the NFL top 10. Stacy, Stacy's got a question for you, Clint. Go ahead, Stacy.
Come on.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Are you on?
Yeah, okay. Well, here's what I said. I understand when you asked Clint about would he be able to rate it. Now, I don't know how this top 100 works if each guy – puts their top 100, but I know when Clint was playing, he knew his position, so he probably could rate all the quarterbacks that he was, you know, in the league at that time. So I understand. So if Clint just put down all his and then submitted it, does somebody else compile those 100s, or is each player supposed to do all their 100 players?
All right, appreciate the call, Stacy. From what I understand, is like each player does a top 100, which is silly. But that is a good thought, which is silly because they're not seeing that many people. But that is an interesting thought. Do you think you would have a good grasp of the quarterbacks while you were playing in the league?
Oh, yeah. While I was playing in the league, yeah, I would have had a really good grasp of the quarterbacks. I would always have a really good grasp of the quarterbacks, of the key players. But, I mean, when you get into a top 100,
yeah.
And like I don't understand the process when I look at this list and – Who did I tell you earlier? The linebacker from Bobby Wagner's 13. Yeah. I know Bobby Wagner's a great player, but when I look at it, I'm like, is a inside linebacker?
It's hard for you not to get away from value.
No question. No question. It's hard for me to gauge that, and so, you know, it's hard for me to put Tom Brady at 14. We're still talking about Tom Brady. He somehow won 12 last year with Julian Edelman as his weapon on offense. I mean, that's. It's crazy to think that guy's 14 and not in the top 10. But Drew Brees, I mean, he's a Mount Rushmore, and he's still playing at a high level. They'll be a Super Bowl contender again this year. Coming out of the gate, they'll put up huge numbers. Thrown for 5,000 multiple times in his career. There's no drop-off with Drew Brees. How do you keep him out of the top 10?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, Dusty Baker, if we just be honest, had him an awful night. Awful night doing his job last night. But – to keep it real, it wasn't all on Dusty last night. Dusty wasn't alone. It should have been some other people in that line taking that blame from Dusty. And we'll get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
That's Tyler the Millennial just saying crazy things. Did you see that? Tyler put... I'm a millennial too, Tyler. Tyler,
are y'all really millennials?
Yeah, you're not. Tyler,
ain't no doubt about that.
Yeah, he's 42. He put up there the things, his trait that he brings to the crew is he's a millennial. Well, damn it, I'm a millennial too. It's not like you're the first millennial crashing in on this show.
You're 36, and my lady don't. She doesn't. She's 29 and doesn't claim millennial.
Well, I'm sorry to tell her she is one.
I can't blame her for not claiming it, man. Millennials get a lot of hate.
Well, let's be honest. Y'all deserve a lot of hate.
I'll get out of here. I mean,
let's be honest.
You know, come on. You know who else deserves a lot of hate?
Who?
Look at that sports radio transition right there. Who else deserves a lot of hate? Dusty Baker has been getting a lot of hate today. But, Clint, his hate has been fair, but he ain't alone. There should have been some other people in line right behind him taking some of this blame. And, man, Dusty had a bad night, but somebody could have picked his ass up, Clint. 0-for-11, the big three. There was an 0, and this is in extra innings. But overall, they were 0-for-21 against the Dodgers last night.
Come on, man.
The big three of Altuve, Bregman, and I guess Springer. You can add him in. He didn't get the start. It would have been worse because I'm pretty sure he wasn't going to make contact. I'm pretty sure he didn't make contact with a ball last night. He got walked and he struck out. Pretty sure he did. I don't even know if George fouled one off. So he's not even making contact. But the three of them, 0-for-21. Dusty had a rough night, but somebody could have picked him up. Any of them.
Look, we spend so much time talking about the pitching, whether it be the 4- and 5-hole starter before Greinke did Greinke things and before Verlander. Came out with the elbow injury, or after with all the young arms. Like, what are they going to do? You know, how are they going to respond? Well, look, man, I hate to break it to you, but two runs ain't going to beat the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees. Well, the Yankees, too.
The Dodgers.
Two runs ain't going to beat the Dodgers. And so, yeah, Dusty screwed the pooch in extra innings. There ain't no doubt about it. It was uncalled for. It was unacceptable. It was so many. It's still hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that he didn't have a plan. But if those three cats right there you mentioned, if they're going to go 0-for-21, you ain't beating nobody. It don't matter if it's in the playoffs. It doesn't matter if it's in a shortened regular season. You ain't beating anybody.
No. And they've got
to add to it, Show, before I – to add to it, look, we talk about Deshaun Watson taking the bull by the horns and doing things a certain way. And taking the Texans organization over. Well, damn it, man. Like, in those situations, the manager not having a plan, yeah, it's a bad deal. But a runner on second, and Altuve's up there swinging out of his shoes instead of trying to push the ball to the opposite field to get the runner to third at the very least, to the point where Chipper Jones, what Chipper Jones say, Show?
He said it. Well, that didn't look like a guy who's trying to go to right field. And he tried, like,
that's the kind of stuff that, like, the 0-for-21 is frustrating, Show. But then when you talk about veteran players, not understanding the situation, come on, man.
No, they understand
that's
it.
That's got to get better, too.
They understand the situation. They just doing whatever the hell it is they want to do. Like, he understood the situation. Because, I'll defend Dusty a bit here. Dusty should not have to go tell Jose Altuve, hey, man, try to get a base hit to the right side, right? Because you say, all right, if Altuve, he can still get power and hit the ball to the right side. It could be a double. It could be a homer. It could be a grounder through the – and if it's a grounder and it's a base hit, you got a chance to win the thing if you want to send a guy. But he ain't – he's swinging like it's the first. Like, it's the first and nothing's going on. Yeah. Like, and it, like, to me, like you said it, the veteran guys have to. Dusty shouldn't have to go and drag their hands to it. Now, I don't blame Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker, he should have been told to bunt. I'm not blaming. I'm not putting that on Kyle Tucker to pull over. You forced the issue with him. All right? Now, if Kyle Tucker can't lay a bunt down, well, that's no longer on Dusty. That's on your ass, Kyle. But those other guys, Altuve, you got to at least make a damn attempt to go to the right side. And George Springer. Yeah. That at bat in the 11th,
He looks lost.
Yes. Like, I mean,
Bregman had several
opportunities. Third, fourth, and fifth season of Lost. I mean, that's what he looked like. And it was just, he just looked like, he didn't swing on that last one. He just took his helmet off. I can't do nothing with that.
You know, so, and I think the one initial pushback that we'll get is, well, you didn't mind them swinging out of their shoes in 2017. You didn't mind it last year when you made a run to the playoffs. And I agree. I agree. But when you really, like, the awareness is what concerns me. Like, when you are 0-21 in a two-game series with a team that it means a little bit more than the fifth and sixth game of the season, when that's the case, you're 0-21. You're clear to not be more controlled and more calculated in what you do in that moment, in extra innings to move the runner to third, to do that. That to me, that's just the awareness level from Dusty Baker all the way down to your big three. I just don't – the awareness is that was concerning.
Yeah, Clint Sterner in the show here with you. Dusty Baker had him a rough night last night, but he wasn't alone. There are other people who need to carry the blame, and that means the big three of Springer, Altuve, and Bregman are 0-21 in the game last night. And you don't know what I fully expected, fellas, to come in here and say? This is exactly what I thought this was going to be today. Man, Dusty Baker had a rough night, but he got bailed out. He got bailed out. The way that it was setting up,
yes.
I kept thinking, all right, let's not bury. Let's. I was thinking we were going to have to come in here and have the mindset with the fans, hey, they won, but let's not ignore what the hell that was last night. And Dusty has got to be better. He was just bailed out. Like, I felt like Dusty was going to be Andy Reid. I've watched Andy Reid get bailed out by Patrick Mahomes after making bad mistakes. I've watched Pete Carroll get bailed out by Russell Wilson after making mistakes. I've watched Houston Nutt get bailed out by Clint Sterner after making mistakes at Arkansas. But I thought we were going to have another one of those. But no, Alex Bregman said, no, I'm good. I'm hitting with runners in scoring position all night long, man. I'm good. And obviously we just talked about Altuve, and it was about two pitches in with some of those at-bats with Springer where you said, oh, God, he doesn't have a chance. And I don't even know who this is on the mound.
Well, the fact of the matter is the Astros do not have a chance if those three hitters aren't swinging the bat well and if the manager is poorly managing the way that he did in extra innings last night. So I got a question for you. If Bill O'Brien came to the table and said, we didn't bunt, they didn't bunt, nobody bunted.
They didn't bunt, we didn't bunt, you know, nobody bunted.
If Bill O'Brien came to the table after losing a game
after just blunders at the end of the fourth quarter the way that Dusty had.
Chief, if Bill O'Brien did that, he would get skull drug down 59 out here for a month. I mean, I can't believe that there was a lack of plan the way that there was, and then that was the response by Dusty Baker. Believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was – yeah, that can't be. I think Unc lost himself a little bit. I think Unc just got away from a little bit. He just got to talking on the road. And that's what happens when he don't have his toothpick. I just think that's a thinking mechanism
that may
help him. This from the text line, Clint, from the 979. Dusty should tell them because clearly they couldn't do their job. What is Dusty's job just to get a check? And maybe that's what Dusty learned. Maybe Dusty learned that maybe our communication needs to be a little bit better. Maybe I need to go in. But I don't believe that's the case. I've been around baseball managers and been around coaches and guys for a long time. There are certain players and certain veterans that you don't have to say stuff to, that you shouldn't to say stuff to and understand the situation to go the other way.
Yeah, I mean, the players should adjust. I mean, to me, it's one of those deals where there were things that would come up in a game and I would adjust accordingly and put my team in the best position to win. I didn't need to wait for the coach to tell me. But there's, to me, it's the combination of it's a new rule. You should have had a plan for that particular situation. I don't care if you're tied or if you're down one run after the first, after the top of the inning. You should have had a plan. It should have been a well thought out plan, a well communicated plan. And you had three options to get it right, three chances to get it right, and you never got it right. This isn't just, we drag Bill O'Brien for why didn't you call a timeout or why didn't you challenge that play? Hey, he's on a clock, Jack. He's on a clock. He's on a 30-second clock that he's got to make a decision. My man Dusty had three different chances with enough time to call three different coaches' meetings in the dugout and still missed the boat.
They didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
That right there, coming from off coming up off Kirby over here, that right there ain't getting it, partner.
No, they all played a part in it. Dusty, like with that Dusty – and maybe Dusty will need to talk with them more. I think they've got to have an understanding. Like everyone knows in that situation, especially if you're a veteran. Maybe you tell Kyle Tucker. Maybe you tell the fastest man in America, Miles Straw. But with Altuve and those guys up there, like everyone knows, the first two swings are for your team. That means you're swinging to the right side of the field to try to get the ball to the right side. You're swinging. It should be clear of your swing. Your swing should not include King Griffey Jr.'s uppercut that he would have all the time in his swings, because that's what Altuve's swing looked like. He looked like Mark McGwire's uppercut swing. Like, damn, oh, you're not trying to do any of that. And then the last one, if you got two strikes on you, now you're just trying to make contact and put the ball in play. But that's not what they did. They were the veterans, just awful. And that can occur. Dusty, you weren't great, but he sure as hell didn't get picked up and didn't have any help. That's got to improve. All right, Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley, remember coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. You don't want to miss that. Other big news, this is probably the biggest news out of the sports coming today, Clint, is the SEC, they have decided they're going to go to a 10-game season, all-conference football season. They're not doing like the ACC, having 10 and then adding another game. They're just doing 10 against each other, and that'll start September 26th. The SEC title game is thought to be December 19th, and now the way it is going is they're not adding – any more of your Citadel, Georgia doesn't get to play Wright State or Cleveland State. They're playing all SEC opponents. All 10 of their games are against SEC opponents. And we've had conversations about how Corona will affect sports. I hope it affects college football in this way, because I think the interest level, and it's huge already, but I think the interest level would go up even higher if on a week-to-week basis there weren't guarantee games, that they were playing teams where you're like, hey, I'm A&M. I know they're playing Georgia.
Yeah.
I know they're playing Missouri. I know these schools they're playing. There's some games, if you're A&M, it's hard to get up for if you're playing, you know, North Dakota State, right? I hope when we see this season that this executes a change to where – those guarantee games, at least they won't play as many of them.
Oh, I think for our enjoyment, the level of enjoyment from us as viewers and us as fans, I think it goes through the roof. I mean, because there's you got a couple of teams in the SEC that you know that'll lose one marquee game. Arkansas lost Notre Dame. And you got, you know, I think the top two. I think Alabama and maybe LSU. I think there's two teams in the SEC that had two marquee games on the schedule, in non-conference games on the schedule. And so you'll lose a couple of games here and there, but I think across the board, getting to see a 10-game slate of SEC versus SEC and then a championship game at the end of it, I think is absolutely beautiful. I think when you look at it, I mean, people have been pushing forever, it seems like, for everybody to play everybody in the SEC. I don't know how the hell you would do that. That'd be 13 games.
Yeah.
But you could get it done and then play a championship game. The fact that they're increasing the cross games, the East-West games, it's been a long time coming. It's been discussed and cussed in every which way possible for a long time. This is going to be a big time change for the SEC, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they didn't stick with it.
I hope like I don't know about you, Clint. I would take less games if it meant almost all the games were going to be known to. Like right now, Alabama, they play LSU, they play USC, but then they play Georgia State, Kent State, and UT Martin.
Yeah.
Like if you take those games, like I would, if they play 13, 12 games now, give me 10. I'll take the 10 and all schools that Alabama plays are SEC schools, and then maybe they add an SC. Maybe they add a Texas or Louisville, whatever they've done. I'd take less games right now because there's some games, and I know you get up and you like, the marquee games, there may be like two or three of them.
Yeah.
Like especially when you don't get to conference season, there may be like, hey, man, there's one game where it's two ranked teams playing. And I feel like you would get more of that. And I would enjoy that. We've heard Saban complain about not having sellouts at Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And when they're playing Wright State or Kent State, yeah, man, people ain't as amped as they used to be to go to those games.
Yeah, there's the only pushback on that is that those particular teams you're talking about, those level opponents, they need that money. They need that money. Who was it you said earlier was Louisiana Monroe?
Yeah.
Louisiana Monroe is there's two games, Arkansas and LSU.
Somebody like that. Yeah.
Anyway, there was two Power 5 teams that were paying them and the total amount they were paying them was 20% of their total revenue that year. Those smaller schools are heavily dependent on those kinds of games, man. And so Helen, look, there's some. Arkansas is one of them right now. Arkansas, if they're going to go to a bowl game, they got a lot better chance of going to a bowl game if they got three ducks on their schedule.
Yeah, and that's probably why my wish won't happen.
Yeah.
Money and these teams, because that gets coaches fired.
Well, that look, a 10-game SEC slate right now, that takes Arkansas from, like I always tell people, like Arkansas is an eight-win school. Missouri, that's an eight. Like you should, if you're a fan of a handful of schools, like eight wins is where you should live at, and your coach should be you should re-up that joker and pay him a boatload of money. And when the state produces the right number of big time athletes, or he's able to go out and have a big time recruiting class, and those guys turn into like 1 year, Houston Nutt brought in Darren McFadden, Felix Jones, and Peyton Hillis, all started in the NFL, all first day draft picks. Two of them were first round draft picks. The state Arkansas produced two of them. Oklahoma across the border by Tulsa, produced Felix Jones.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when that comes around, then boom, you make a run. If you win a championship, you win a championship. You know, there's a lot of teams out there like that right now. And if you go canceling all the three or four smaller schools that they get to play that year, hell, a bowl game's going to be questionable. Oh, it's no longer eight-win teams. They're six-win teams.
Yeah, coach will fight it. Hey, tonight we get the NBA is back.
Yes, we do.
Jazz. Man. The Jazz will take on the Pelicans, and Zion is playing tonight. And then the Clippers and Lakers, a big one. But tomorrow the Rockets get back, and James Harden had a message for Houston.
James, you have a huge fan base, not only around the world, but definitely in Houston. What do you want to say to the fans that's going to be supporting you that can't be, you know, at the games to watch you all finish this season out?
We're bringing it back to H-Town. You know, we've come up short these last few years, but – this is another opportunity for us to fight for it and get after it again. So, you know, we got some grinding to do, some work to do, but the goal is to bring it back to H-Town.
There you go.
Okay.
Come on, man, to get you set for tomorrow. That's what I like to hear, James.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to hear, James.
Okay, James.
All right, man, we had a lot of fun. Make sure you listen to Payne and Pendergast because you'll be able to hear Bill O'Brien as he will be live on their air in the morning on Sports Radio 610. Tyler, fantastic job as always. Clint, hey, have you a beautiful night,
you
baby.
You mix that Casamigos up. I got a size 12 Jordan 1 going to be in that ass tomorrow.
I thought you was an 11. All right, I'm Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Something without wanting love.
Be a cool light and jump off in this pool.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.